Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time, 8:05 Central. What we try to do is deal with the truth of God's Word. In John 17, verse 17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Sanctify, that would mean cleanse spiritually. So the way we're sanctified, the way we're cleansed spiritually, is through the truth. And it's God's Word is the truth. We call it the Bible. It's not through some small, miraculous voice that nobody can hear except you. The way you're sanctified is through the truth, the Word. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 puts it this way, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth." So if we want our souls purified, we have to obey the truth. Other passages call it obeying the gospel. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you obeyed the truth? If not, then you have not purified your souls. While we're waiting on our first call, I thought we'd talk about forgiveness. And that's what we mean by purifying our souls. That's forgiveness. The number to call is 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number is 877-655-6755. We're talking tonight about purifying our souls, forgiveness. First, let's mention a couple of verses that show the need for forgiveness. Romans 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. That's talking about spiritual death. That presents a problem. Since we all have sinned, we've all died spiritually. We're separated from God, Isaiah 59, verse 2, by our sins. Big problem. How can that problem be solved? Well, forgiveness, our topic for tonight, is the answer. Colossians 2:13 reads, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." So our sins cause us to die spiritually, to cause us to be separated from God. And then God forgives us, and that restores the relationship. We're put back into a saved relationship, into fellowship with God, by being forgiven by God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 puts it this way, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood." So we see that Jesus' blood washes our sins, takes them away. That's forgiveness, and it's done through the death of Christ. Done through the death of Christ. We can't overemphasize that event, the death of Christ, in my opinion, the greatest event in human history. The benefits of Jesus' death went to all mankind so that all mankind, whoever chooses to be a believer, to trust and obey, can be saved, John 3:16. Again, the number to call is 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or a comment. And so we've all sinned, and the wages of sin is death, separation from God. We need forgiveness. I want to make an important point right here. Forgiveness is always contingent or conditioned upon repentance. And that's what a lot of religious folks, a lot of so-called Christians, a lot of believers overlook. They want to be forgiven by God for their sins without repenting of their sins. But notice a passage like Ezekiel 18, verses 21 and 22. It says, "But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. You see, the wicked has to turn from all his sins that he hath committed to live, to have spiritual life, to be forgiven. He has to turn from his sins. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus Christ, of course, said that. Except we repent, we will all likewise perish. So, forgiveness, salvation from our sins, is absolutely contingent, conditioned upon our repentance. We can't continue in sin and expect to be forgiven for our sins. People say, well, won't God show mercy? Yes, God shows mercy through the death of Christ. When we repent, we don't deserve forgiveness. When we repent, we meet the condition of repentance to be forgiven by the death of Christ, and then God shows mercy. He shows mercy to those who repent. Acts 3:19 puts it this way. Peter speaking in a sermon, he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So our sins will be blotted out only if we repent and are converted, according to Acts 3:19. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, so not only do we have to repent, but as a Christian, we have to confess our sins. And if we will, the Bible says he'll forgive us. But the implication there is, it says, if we confess, he will forgive us. The implication is, if we're not willing to confess, if we're not willing to repent, if we're not willing to turn from our sins, Ezekiel 18, if we're not willing to repent, Luke 17, verse 3, we'll still be in our sins. God will not forgive us. The blood of Christ is there to cover our sins, but God gives us free will. We can either accept or reject the sacrifice of Christ. And one of the things that we do, one of the central things we must do to accept the sacrifice of Christ, the benefits of it on our behalf, is to repent. Repent of your sins. That means, repent means to turn from them, to change. Let me give you an example. Had a few debates with gay preachers. The gay church believes in the Bible, they say, and they believe in Jesus. Why aren't they saved? Because they hadn't repented of being gay. They hadn't repented of their homosexuality. They hadn't repented of their sins. They think, oh, if we believe in Jesus, we're going to be saved even if we stay in our sins. They won't be. The only way you can receive forgiveness based upon the blood of Christ is by repenting of your sins. And that means you make up your mind you're going to stop your sins. People ask me all the time, can a homosexual be saved? Yes, but only if they stop being a homosexual. The same way a thief. Can a thief be saved? Yes, but only if he stops being a thief. What about an adulterer? Can they be saved? Yes, but only if they stop committing adultery. We have to repent of our sins in order to be forgiven of them. Ezekiel 18 again, if the wicked will turn from all his sins and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live and shall not die. The wages of sin is death, and all have sinned. That's what we deserve, is death. Ezekiel 18 says, if we will turn from our sins, then we will live. We'll avoid that spiritual death. And it will be done through the death of Christ. That's how we'll be forgiven. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. You know, a thing that some people overlook, many people overlook, is that in order to be forgiven by God, we must be willing to forgive others. In what's called the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 12 and 14 through 15. It says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So to be forgiven by God for any sin, we have to be willing to forgive others when they sin against us. Of course, Luke 17, verse 3 says they have to repent first, and then we should forgive them. But when they repent, we have to forgive them. The same way that when we repent, God will forgive us. In Mark 11, 25 through 26, we read, "And when you stand praying, forgive. For if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." You see, if we're not willing to forgive others, God, which is in heaven, our Father, which is in heaven, will not forgive us our trespasses. Joe from Florida, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
How you doing, sir?
Good evening. Appreciate your call, Joe.
Thank you for what you do, sir. God bless you. I was just wondering, besides blaspheming the Holy Spirit, after you become a Christian, is there any other sin that can keep you from heaven?
Well, now the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, Matthew 12, 31 and 32, is one exception. We read 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins as a Christian, God will forgive them. That's a general rule, applies to any sin. Rape, homosexuality, murder. There's only one exception to that. Matthew 12, 31 and 32 makes it clear there is one exception. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. We cannot be forgiven for that. Okay, Joe? We're on the same page so far, right?
Yes, but, sir, most definitely.
But I'm going to answer your question a little bit, go a little bit further. Any sin we're not willing to repent of will keep us out of heaven. Let me read to you, say, Matthew 21, verse 27. "And there shall in no wise enter into it," and we're talking about heaven here, "anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." So, no, we will not, sin will not enter into heaven. So, any sin we're not willing to repent of and get forgiveness for, if we're not forgiven, we're not going to go to heaven because you have to be forgiven. This verse says sin will not enter into heaven. So the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is in a category by itself. You can't be forgiven for that, even if you did repent. No way you can be forgiven. Any other sin, you can be forgiven and go to heaven if you repent. But any other sin, if you refuse to repent, you don't get forgiveness. It'll keep you out of heaven. Joe, do you have follow-up on that?
What particularly, if you don't mind, just for the listeners, what is actually blaspheming the Holy Spirit?
Well, if you go to Matthew 12... in the context, we won't take time to read the whole thing, but if our listeners are interested, read the whole chapter of Matthew 12. And what you see is Jesus did a miracle by the power of the Holy Spirit. And those around him would commit the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit if they attributed a miracle, the power of the miracle, to be done by Satan. See, because it was done by the Holy Spirit, if you say it's done by Satan, that it really occurred, but it's done by Satan, that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
So if today, 1 Corinthians 13, by the way, verses 8 through 13, shows that the miraculous is not still valid today. The miraculous, the tongues, the prophecy, those things were for a limited period of time. But if today a person were to read about a miracle in the Bible, one that truly happened, and say, "I believe that miracle that we read about in the Bible happened, but I believe it was done by the power of the devil," that would be blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. You follow me, Joe?
Okay. Yes, sir.
And if we commit that sin, we cannot be forgiven. Like I said, any other sin, murder, rape, homosexuality, any of the, quote, worst sins you can think of, they can be forgiven if a person will repent. This is the only sin that can't be forgiven.
Amen. Thank you, brother, for everything you do. God bless you, man.
Thank you for your call. Keep listening.
All right. Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
So we had a question about forgiveness. You can't be forgiven for the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, but you can be forgiven for any other sin. But as we've been pointing out, you will not be forgiven for any other sin unless you repent of that sin. And that's why a homosexual can't be saved if he remains a homosexual. He's got to repent of his sin just like a thief has to repent of being a thief. Homosexuality is a sin that's condemned many times in the Bible, Old Testament and New. If a person's not willing to repent of that, he can't be saved. But if he's willing to repent, he will be. And then we pointed out, of course, from a couple of passages right before the call, something that's sometimes overlooked is that we cannot be forgiven for our sins unless we're willing to forgive others their sins against us. That's always a condition of forgiveness, us being willing to forgive others. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. One other verse before we leave that point, Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So we have to be willing to forgive others, just like God, for Christ's sake, meaning because of His death, He's forgiven us. We have to be willing to do that. One last point that underlines all of this, God's forgiveness, we have to repent to be forgiven, we have to be willing to forgive others to be forgiven, and that is, all of this forgiveness that we're talking about from God is based upon the death of Christ. We've already mentioned that. But let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. There God says, For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So when we sin and we want forgiveness, we have to repent. But even if we repent, when we're forgiven, God is showing us mercy, and He's doing it based upon the death of Christ. If Jesus hadn't died for our sins, it wouldn't matter how many times we repented, we couldn't be forgiven. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven, and when we repent and receive forgiveness, we're taking advantage of His death. Well, didn't Jesus say essentially the same thing in Matthew 26, verse 28? Let me read Matthew 26, verse 28. Jesus says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And so the way we receive the remission of sins, of course, we have to repent to receive the remission of sins, but the way is through the death of Christ. Jesus shed His blood for the remission of our sins. Well, I'm going to see if I got a call here. Hector from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, is it blasphemy if you say that the Bible is so old that its words cannot be true today? That's what I'm wondering.
I would call that blasphemy, but that's not blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But, you know, Hector, that's a good point. Well, I hear a lot of people talk about how that the Bible was good for its day, but it's not valid today. You know, we've been talking a little bit tonight about the homosexuals and the gay church. And that's usually their number one argument. Well, homosexuality was condemned back then, but things have changed today. Our culture is different, so it's okay today. Let me read that passage I was thinking of in Romans 1 about against homosexuality. In 26-27, it says, "For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meet." So, Hector, not only is homosexuality a sin, this passage calls it unnatural. That's not something that's going to change with culture. It was unnatural back then. It's still unnatural today. It's still a sin today. Our culture changes, but the Bible does not. Hector, any follow-up?
Yeah. That's a good point. Excellent. I'm just wondering, what if they rebuttal that and say, well, back then a man could have many wives, but see, what you read me, that is New Testament, right? So now we're talking about New Testament versus Old Testament.
Right. Old Testament they could, but 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2 says, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." And so now it's one man for one woman for life. Dan from Louisiana, are you there on the line?
Yep, I'm here.
Go ahead with your Bible question. Yeah, go ahead with your question or comment.
Well, you know, I had a question, and I wanted to know about being saved once and for all, or once and you can lose your save. How does that work scripturally?
Well, Dan, I'm going to read to you a verse. The Baptists are famous for teaching once saved, always saved. And another way they put it is that a Christian cannot fall from grace. But let me read you this verse. Galatians 5, verse 4 says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Does that sound like it's possible to fall from grace, or that it's not possible to fall from grace, Dan?
It sounds possible.
Yeah. Now, I like to make this challenge on my radio program sometimes. It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's a little bit serious. That if a person, any person, will turn to any random page in the Bible, I believe I can find at least one verse on that page that proves once saved, always saved is wrong. In other words, what I'm saying is basically every page in the Bible has one or two or three passages that proves this idea that once you become a Christian, you can't lose your salvation. That's false. So, Dan, what a person needs to do is become a Christian, repent of his sins, and then follow through on that commitment and be a faithful Christian the rest of his life, and then he'll be saved. Make sense, Dan?
That makes sense. Now, let me ask you this, and, you know, not to be nitpicker here, but what about if, you know, you're on your deathbed and you say, you know, please forgive me for my sins, Lord. And, you know, how can you not be saved at that point?
Are you talking about a Christian who does that?
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm talking definitely about a Christian who believes Jesus died for our sins. And,
well,
you know,
if a Christian is on his deathbed and he truly repents of his sins, I'm talking about he's not just saying this, but he truly repents of his sins, he can be forgiven. Craig from Georgia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes. I just want to know, when you were talking earlier about homosexuality, for those people who attend gay churches, especially the ministers and the pastors of the gay church, who truly love God and is truly trying to spread his word, but they are blinded by the adversary to think that homosexuality is not a sin and God is forgiving them. What I want to know is, how will God deal with that? With those who truly love him but does not recognize what they're doing is a sin and is considered to be a pastor or a minister of a church.
Craig, listen to this passage in 2 John 9 through 11. It says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, first of all, Craig, is a homosexual abiding in the teaching or the doctrine of Christ?
No, it's not.
Okay, now let me read 10 and 11. It says, if there come any unto you, turn your radio down, Craig, turn your radio down.
Okay.
It says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So these people who are part of gay churches, or they're encouraging people who are gay, this says that they are bidding them Godspeed and they become a partaker of their evil deeds. Does that answer your question, Craig?
Yes. I think I understand exactly where you're coming from with that.
Okay. Thank you, Craig. Appreciate your
call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Look, we're having to move pretty fast through these calls. If anybody wants to discuss further these things in more detail, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com anytime this week. Mike, if you can hear me, stay on the line and we're going to try to take your call after the program. I've only got 30 more seconds and I'll take your call after the program is over. Stay on the line. We appreciate everybody listening tonight. Look, if you want to give me a call on my cell phone sometime, 256-682-9753. My email address is BibleCrossfire@email.com. I'd love to hear from you. We could talk more in depth about these issues. Listen next week.